Heavenly Father, we do remember. For many of us, Lord, we can tell you right where we were. We can tell you the questions we had. The heartbreak we felt. The loss and the grief that was to come. We remember, Lord. We remember you were faithful. You were faithful then, you're faithful now. We remember in spite of all our questions, you welcomed us and you were enough. We know there's real brokenness in our world, but our hope is that it's your world and that you love it. You love it so very much. Help us now continue to lift up your world, to pray for it, to pray for our enemies. We lift up those who are persecuting others. We lift up those who have totally left you or discounted you. We pray for those who think they don't need you at all because they need you the most. Lord, it did bring our country together. And yet here, 20-some years later, our country's still so divided. We pray, Lord. We pray for our leaders. We pray that you would anoint them. Have mercy on us. Help us to be a light to the nations, salt of the earth. We pray, Lord, that we would be people that reflected your goodness to others. And every one of us missed that mark this week. Every one of us dropped the ball. A careless remark, a rush to judgment, maybe passing by someone that needed our assistance. Lord, we lift our hearts to you, and we trust in your grace and your forgiveness. We ask now that this time would be a time that we can look back and say, you moved in our lives. That we are different people because of it. We pray for all those who are broken and are hurting. We pray for those, again, who have been seeking you. Pray for those who have lost all hope. May your grace be sufficient. May they come to know how great you are. May they come to know how good you are. We pray this in the mighty name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. It is bittersweet these days to remember, to think, to consider our ways and where have we come. But that's one of the reasons I love when we gather together and we get back into God's word and we say, okay, how is that story still our story? How is what God did back then still he's doing that today? Today, I want to turn your attention to kind of get you caught up with where we're at. We're beginning the book of Numbers. Now, Numbers, if you're a math person, sounds exciting. It has story and has law. It goes back and forth. So there'll be elements where God's giving them law and talking to them, and Moses there, and da-da-da, come over here, let's talk about this. Here's the, as Steve said, if you were here with us last week, he said flat out, he says, it's like policies and procedures. Like, you know, it's like an owner's manual for this group of how they had no Christian memory, they had no Jewish memory, they had no memory of anything except making bricks and making babies for 400 years. And so they were good at that, but they didn't know how to treat one another. They didn't know how to have a relationship with another, let alone a healthy relationship. They didn't know how to have a healthy relationship with the Lord. And so he gathers them together at this Mount Sinai. And as they're on their way, on their journey, right, he then explains to them that he's going to dwell with them. He's going to be with them physically. That he's going to be in this place called the Tabernacle, the Holy of Holies. And in there, he will dwell. But he'll only be there one day a year. He'll be there in presence, but he'll only really be there one day a year. That they can be and experience that. Now, fast forward, we understand that Jesus said, no more. to that. He says, I give you my spirit, that he lives within us, which is a very radical understanding, but yet beautiful and true, that the same spirit that was in him is in with us. And so what I want to do is look at something that a lot of times we don't see. We see a lot of times God's rigidity. We see God not being flexible. And yet today, I want you to look at God's flexibility, that he was open and willing to work with the people with what he had, with what was going on. Again, they were kind of stuck. They were kind of, okay, this is what we're going to do. Again, not understanding what God wanted to do in their lives. He just knew that they knew that God wanted to be with them. Okay, God wants to be with us. Good. Now what? Well, here's how we're going to do this. And then he gives them these 10 words or 10 commandments, we say. Four words are for how to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the next 6 words are about how to love one another as we love ourselves. And so you have this kind of invitation, and they're like, we're all in. We're all in. We're wanting to do this. And then he starts to explain, okay, now this is how we're going to do it. And he explains to them, okay, so we're going to have this, we're going to have this, we're going to have this. It goes out. And so now we're in this book of Numbers where they are given again kind of a reminder of again, who God is and about how he wants to dwell with them. And in this, though, this is important. When it looks to numbers, okay, yes, we're going to see kind of like, okay, this clan or this tribe has this many thousands of people in their group. This clan has this many thousands. And I know it can be a little kind of like, let's kind of just skip around. Da, da, da. I get it. But don't miss the story in law. One thing I loved that in the beginnings Bible, if you haven't got it, get one before you leave today. It's, again, a gift from us to you. But the beginnings has a great introduction, I think, for Numbers. One of my favorites that they've actually done since we started this over a year and a half ago. But this is just really interesting in that it really compares story and law, story and law. This is also, this today's text is focused on leadership. You know, one of the things that I think a lot of people underestimate is how good God is as a leader and how we can take out principles and apply them everywhere, whether people believe it or not. So let's jump into the text and kind of hopefully I'll show you what I mean by all this. Numbers chapter 9. A year after Israel's departure from Egypt, the Lord spoke to Moses in the wilderness of Sinai. In the first month of that year, he said, tell the Israelites to celebrate the Passover at the prescribed time. Now, this shouldn't be anything radically new. We've heard this already in Exodus. They're supposed to celebrate the Passover. We've heard this in the other book, Leviticus, the next one. Celebrate the Passover. Here's how to celebrate the Passover. We're hearing it again. We think that this was something that came about when they were in exile, that they kind of revisited this, that they kind of, the Numbers and Deuteronomy were kind of gathered together to remind them that God is faithful, who God is, and again, to help them remember of what God's called them to be and do. Let's continue with the text. So Moses told the people to celebrate the Passover in the wilderness of Sinai. And they celebrated the festival there, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. Now, this is what I just want to pull out of here, leadership-wise, is how Moses models the way. Moses is told something by the Lord. He then goes to the people and says, this is what the Lord has said. It's something that sometimes we kind of just rush through. And yet, that's something that God leads us to do all the time. He calls us to live for him, to honor him. And as we model the way, we help others come to know the way. But a lot of times we underestimate what God wants to do in you and in me. We just don't think God cares that much or that he's that interested, but he is interested. He wants us to learn to model the way as well. The text continues, but some of the men had been ceremonially defiled by touching a dead body. We don't know the situation. Apparently it's not important for the writer to let us know. They just said someone is unclean, and they've already laid out these regulations like, listen, if you come in contact with a dead body, this is what you're supposed to do, how to, you know, become clean, all and so forth. And part of it was strictly to prevent from disease being spread, okay, number one. And also, God's holiness saying, listen, you can't just kind of willy-nilly, like this is a big deal. So they've been ceremonially defiled by touching a dead body, so they could not celebrate the Passover that day. They came to Moses and Aaron that day and said, we have become ceremonially unclean by touching a dead body. But why should we be prevented from presenting the Lord's offering at the proper time with the rest of the Israelites? I mean, they're going to the leadership. They're not just making this stuff up. They're not just kind of going, it's no big deal. You know, sometimes we're a little too carefree, right? We're a little like, no big deal. They're like, listen, we know this is a law. We want to celebrate it. Are there any options? We don't want to miss this. God said we must celebrate it, but now we're unclean. How do we do this? Moses answered, wait here until I've received instructions to you for you from the Lord. I just want to take a moment here. Wait here. No one wants to be told to wait. Ever. You're in the service checkout line, right? Like you have something to bring back. You want it, you have your receipt, you have your thing. You're like, this is going to be quick and easy. Let me just get in there. And then there's usually a line. And then, you finally get up there. Oh, sorry. Just got to check on something. I'll be right back. Right? We don't like waiting, you know? We go to, there's this one fast food restaurant that I'll go to every now and again. And as I go to it, every time I order, they tell me, can you pull around and park in the front? We'll bring it out to you. I'm right here. I order chicken. I know it's going to be there. Give me 10 seconds. Just give it. I don't like waiting. I'm not saying it's good. I'm confessing. But waiting is something we all struggle with. Moses tells him, you know what? We're going to go seek the Lord on this. We don't know what to do with this. You bring up a good point. Let's see what the Lord wants to do. Wait here. He does. And this is another concept on leadership. And this is a kind of a perspective of Christian leadership. Okay? So just to be clear here, this isn't take the next mountain, you know, by any cost kind of leadership. This is, okay, how would the Lord want us to proceed? And there's this concept in biblical understanding of submission. When we submit to one another, it actually is a command in that Paul gives in Ephesians to all families. Submit to one another. Ooh, that's not easy. That is hard. It is not easy to submit to someone else when I want A or B or C. And I'm like, can we just make it happen? Sometimes the Lord says, submit to me your will. We see Jesus do this when he's at the garden and he is praying, God, if there's any other way, please let me do that. But if not my will, your will. That is a challenge that every one of us will have to go through and pray through season after season. Submission is a big deal. And another aspect is they seek the Lord first. Sometimes, and this is a fault in my case, and I'm sure I'm the only one here, that I assume I know what the Lord wants to be done. Oh, well, let's do this. I've gotten myself in more trouble than I care to even mention. I now, when someone has an idea that's totally out of the norm, I'm like, you know what? Let's seek the Lord. Let's ask the Lord to see what he thinks about this. Now, the challenge sometimes is because we're like, well, you know, Moses kind of had this like burning fire and this cloud, pillar of cloud, right? So like, this has got to be easier to hear from him than us. I get that. Just in case you don't know, there's several ways that God speaks to us. Through prayer, through the Bible, okay, this thing here. It's amazing how God uses that. Through circumstances, and I believe in the local church. The local church, how the local church can support you and encourage you and pray for you and so on. And it's one of those things that the one of those four ways, sometimes several of those four, will be used. God will use that to confirm, this is what I want you to do. This is where I want you to go. This is how I want you to move forward. Now, if God says, wait, our response isn't how long. Our response is, yes, Lord. Let us know when you want to go. And that is hard. I really, just cards on the table, I really feel the Lord has had us waiting for the last couple years. Here's what I know. God's timing is perfect. I don't like waiting. I've confessed that already with you. The Lord's helping me learn how to just trust him in the waiting. God either says yes, no, or wait. Those are three basic answers he has for us when we pray to him. If it's a go, good job, celebrate it. If it's a no, not my will, your will, okay, Lord, help me to trust you in this. If it's wait, Lord, give me the strength and help me to know when to move. But a lot of times we can make it overcomplicated. If we don't have a peace, if we sought the Lord and we don't have a peace, then we should invite others to pray for us and ask them, hey, would you seek the Lord for me on this? Really trying to get some clarity. Trying to figure out if I'm making this happen because I'm making it happen, or it's because the Lord wants us to do it. Let's jump back in the text. This is the Lord's reply to Moses. Give the following instructions to put to the people of Israel. If any of the people now or in future generations are ceremonially unclean at Passover time because of touching a dead body, or If they are on a journey and cannot be present at the ceremony, they may still celebrate the Lord's Passover. Huh. I mean, he's like, listen, I get it. Life is messy sometimes. Life happens, right? And so we have to trust in God's goodness and in his grace and in his flexibility for us. There are times we just want it right away, you know. You know, you're away right away, right? It's the Burger King kind of like little thing. It's like, hey, let's make it happen. And Lord's like, no, we're going to do this. They estimate from when they left Egypt to where they ended up in the promised land, they could have probably been there 3 weeks, maybe even up to 3 months, depending again, the route, what they experienced. They were in there for 40 years. We're going to unpack that down the road, but 40 years. I don't want to wait 40 years for what God wants for us. I think that, and we'll see this coming up here, that the people weren't obedient, that God showed them what to do, and they said no. And God said, okay, well, I'm willing to still dwell with you. I'm still willing to be with you, but we're going to have a longer journey to work this through. They had a lot more Egypt in them than they realized. The text goes on, they must offer the Passover sacrifice 1 month later. At twilight of the 14th day of the second month, they must eat the Passover lamb at the time with bitter salad greens and bread made without yeast. Now, if you don't know what that means, it's basically the Passover is that time of Egypt when God rescued them from Pharaoh, and they didn't have time for the bread to rise. And again, it was bitter because of all the brokenness and all the loss and all the things they just experienced and all the challenges. So this was a reminder. This Passover was a reminder of God's goodness, of his rescue. But yet the challenges they faced were real. And so he's like, listen, this is how you do the Passover meal for those that don't know it. Now, again, if this was the same group of people that just had been going in from Exodus, they'd have been like, we got that. We know this. That's why we think that there was other times that this was kind of added to and written to. They must not leave any of the lamb until the next morning, and they must not break any of its bones. The Passover lamb's bones were not to be broken. We understand Jesus was the Passover lamb, and not a bone of his was broken. They must follow all the normal regulations concerning the Passover. In short, again, this is all about God's flexibility with them. Try and help them understand. Listen, I understand. Life happens. Things can get messy. Things don't always work according to our plans. God's grace is evident from the beginning to the end, over and over. What's important for us is to embrace that grace and to then live into that with others. How should that impact our flexibility with others? So again, I mentioned God's grace a lot of times because God's flexibility is God's grace. He knows where you are at. He knows how far you are away from him. And he says, I love you no matter what. But he loves us too much to let us stay there. And so he meets us where we're at and invites us into this thing called a relationship. I don't know if you understand God's grace or not. It's God's work on our behalf. Over and over again throughout your days, you know the stories you hear and you see. It doesn't seem that God is always interested in you. In the moment, it can seem like God is so far away. I've been there. And yet, if that's all we understood, then maybe I could get, hey, that's it. But I believe God has done something, and it takes us sometimes years for us to get that proper perspective. To look back. I heard one author say it like this. It's sometimes hard to see the picture when you're inside the frame. You don't have no perspective in the pain, in the struggle, in the challenges of life. But it's only as you are able to step back and look, can you see it? Can you see, wait a minute, there was God here. God was working here. I had a call with a person in our church. I'm not going to say the name, but I had a call with a person. And they're struggling with some cancer. They're praying about it. They're trusting the Lord. They're doing the best they can. But I realized after about 5 minutes talking with them, it was the happiest conversation I ever had with someone that had cancer. I mean, he was laughing. I was laughing. I'm like, oh, my gosh. Like, this is hilarious. Like, I'm trying to cheer you up, and I'm, like, laughing like my gut's hurting a little bit here. And it wasn't because he was talking light. It wasn't like he had defenses up. It's like, hey, we're just going to see what the Lord is going to do here. And he's just trying to celebrate what he can in life. Again, our response to when life happens to us is what we can control. Our response, how is God working in your life? Is he saying yes or no or wait? Our response to that is huge. There are countless examples of people not responding well. And yet there are some of those examples here that we can say, woof. The youth group got together for Miss Drew's birthday. If you don't know Miss Drew, you are not blessed as much as I am. I'm sorry. Miss Drew is a wonderful lady. And she's got great, great spirit about her. Humble lady. She is proud that she was the second batch of nurses that went through the school. And she said she was better than Miss Barbara Young. And I went, wow, okay. If you don't know Miss Barbara, she's up here in our choir. But she's like, I think she was batch 8, but you need to ask her. I said, I'll talk to her. But anyhow, she was just talking about her life, and they had this little trivia game with the youth, and, you know, what is her last name? And they're like, William. So they start going through and like, okay, what's her maiden name? And was like, I got, you know, O'Malley, you know, anyways. And she's Costa Rican, but she pretty much grew up in Jamaica, okay? And so here she has this kind of mixed background in there, and then moved to New York, and just an amazing life. And yet, when you hear her story, they were filled with challenges. I did a service for her, losing her daughter a couple years back. Difficult challenges. And yet, through it all, she's like, I know the Lord has carried me. She pulled me, and I heard her pull a couple people aside that night, Friday night, said, I can feel it coming. She got terminal cancer. I feel it coming. I know I'm getting weaker. I said, okay, let's not miss this moment, though. Let's celebrate where we're at. And man, she was just glowing that night. Your response to what life throws at you is all you can control. But it takes us to say, Lord, not my will, your will. Lord, she says, I've lived a good life. 94. How many people have never hit 90, let alone 80, let alone 70? 94. She's like, I know the Lord has me. His grace is sufficient, no matter where you've been. I think if she had one, if you could go a lap around the track with her, just take a lap around the track, she would just tell you, God is good. His grace is sufficient. No matter what you're facing, you don't have to do it alone. And she would also tell you that lizards are from the devil, but that's a whole other thing. She really, really doesn't like lizards. I'll wrap it up, I promise. But true story, I'm like visiting her one time, and this is early on in meeting with her when I came to church, and she was super sweet, you know, wonderful host, and I'm like walking out, going to my car, I'm like, thank you, Miss Drew, and oh yeah, and I ask a question as I'm walking out, and then I'm like, Miss Drew, I look, gone. Close the door, and I'm like, what? Did I say something? So I go back and I'm like, Miss Drew, are you, did I do something? She's like, I saw a lizard through the door. I saw a lizard. I'll see you Sunday. Yes, ma'am. What is going on here? We all have our challenges. Do you know God's grace like that? Do you know God's grace is sufficient when your business collapses? When your marriage fails, when you lose your job, God's grace is sufficient. Would you pray with me? Lord, your flexibility with your people, time and time again, we don't miss that. We don't lose on that. We're not lost in seeing that. That message is received. But Lord, help us to realize your flexibility with us. No matter what our brokenness, no matter what our choices, you love us completely. Your unconditional love is working for us. Help us know that, Lord. Help us know that. Help us to experience again your grace. Ooh, how it's for us right here, right now. We praise you, Lord. Thank you. In your name. And all God's people said, amen. The final word. The final word is this. I've been talking to you about your maps, the things you use to kind of navigate life. We all use maps again, or narratives, to navigate, to know where we're at, how to get there. I shared with you about a story of a young lieutenant with his squad, his platoon, and he's doing these exercises, and he's trying to figure out where they are on the map, and the platoon sergeant comes up and says, "Where are we? Where are we at?" And he goes, I'm having trouble. There's supposed to be a hill right over there." And he goes, if the ground don't match the map is wrong." And I've been trying to challenge you in your maps to think through, what maps do you use in life? And again, when it comes to influencing others, leadership, here's a Christian one, here's a Christian principle. To lead well, learn to follow well. There's something about learning to surrender to God and follow His lead that then He will give us more opportunities to lead and serve others. Lead well, and if you want to, learn to follow well. Now, here's your homework. Again, she makes me say this every time. It's from Barbara Young. I don't know why, but she feels like she needs it. I'm so going to get it later. You have no idea. She's just going to make a dart towards me. We're reading through, again, Numbers. If you're reading through the beginning Bible, those of you who know Miss Barbara, you know she's going to get me. Pages 223 to 240. We're going through Numbers 11 through 20. Now, here's the...
Receive the benediction.
You go nowhere by accident. Wherever you go, God is sending you. Wherever you are, God has put you there. He has a purpose in your being there. Christ who indwells you has something He wants to do through you, where you are. Believe this. Go in His grace, go in His love, and go in His power. Amen.